back to Tasteland. I am your co-host, Francis Sierra.
And I'm your other co-host, Daisy Alioto.
How's it going today, Daisy? How's your Christmas day going?
Oh, right. Today's Christmas. It's going so well.
Good. Merry Christmas. No, we recorded this a week ago, but we would never let you, our loyal listeners, go a week without Tasteland content. So,
no, that would be horrible.
Can you imagine a week without Tasteland? I certainly can't.
No, not me.
Some of you listeners did send us in some questions for this part one of our mailbag year-end episode two-part series.
This is what really gets me. You guys have questions all the time. All the time. And when it's not time for questions. And then when it's time for questions, you know, we got some questions, but, you know,
disappointed, wish it was more.
I feel like I'm the one always asking questions. Everyone wants to be in a dirt prompt. Everyone's like, please. I think Mariah Kruder, who is like wonderful, she wrote a piece a couple years ago for Dirt about replying and like the state of the reply. And I'm dying for her to write for us again. But I asked her our prompt, our latest prompt, which was like gas station order, food. Which is great for holiday road tripping, because even if you are doing not a long road trip, you probably do the gas station stop. Yeah. And she was like, her tweet was like, I was born to like be asked like low stakes bullshit. And then in parentheses, like non-derogatory.
It's kind of like that meme, you know, like who wants to do X and everybody raises their hand. Yes. And then like who wants to do Y and nobody raises their hand. It's like who wants to like ask us a question when it doesn't matter. Anyways, you didn't ask me my gas station order.
But well, if I'm alternate. What's the last thing? You were on iPhone notes. That's why.
I'm not offended. You know, I just want to. I just want to sit on my soapbox here and say what it would be.
Okay, go on.
Okay, so let's, you know, I'm generalizing to any gas station in the country here. Because you know, normally I'd like to get like a Gayaki Yerba Mate or other Mate product, you know, as an alternative energy drinker, often not available. So I will get probably a Starbucks vanilla latte bottled, those cold ones, and then like a Twix, and then some sour cream and onion sun chips.
Okay, just imagining all of those just like duking it out in your stomach is so visceral, but like I can't fault it. That's a perfect order. Oh, well, some people did have like regionally specific, like Kat gave her Bucky's order, and then Matt Rodbard, his was regionally specific. I'm trying to remember. I'm like blanking out.
I was listening to his podcast just the other day.
He's great. Yeah. Sheets sub ordered at the kiosk. Oh. Italian double mayo pepper jack lightly toasted.
Sheets is the Pennsylvania one, right?
I think so. Yeah. Sheets I mean there's Wawa.
I've been to a Sheets once recently, or it was like a year or two ago. Bizarre place. They have so much food. It was actually disgusting. I ate a quarter of it and I didn't eat the rest. I got a pimento cheese sandwich there. Love a pimento sandwich when you get it in the South. Don't love it when you get it from a Pennsylvania gas station.
You should have known better. Yeah. What was on it other than pimento cheese?
I don't know that there was anything else on it. You know what pimento cheese is?
Yeah, of course I know what pimento cheese is. I'm not a barbarian.
I didn't know what it was until I worked at a cafe in New Orleans where I had to make it.
Oh, right. Your New Orleans chapter. We haven't done our New Orleans episode yet. We'll have to.
I'll put the readers on game. I'll give the listeners the recipe for that pimento cheese. So I don't know the exact ratio, but we would take some Cabot cheddar, some good white cheddar sharp, a bunch of Hellman's mayo of your choice, and then some hot cherry peppers, pickled hot cherry peppers, and you just chop it all up and that's it.
So you make it with white cheddar, but isn't it usually orange?
Yeah. Well, the orange came from, in our situation, like the red pepper and the pepper juice, the pickled pepper juice.
Got it. Okay. For some reason, I wasn't imagining the peppers being red. That's my mistake.
Mm-hmm. I think we should start with Pete asked about our over-under list.
Asked a lot of questions. Thank you, Pete. Pete also gets a shout out. Pete got a shout out in the podcast I recorded with you recently when I talked about Pete coming up to me at FWB Fest, introducing himself, and I was on mushrooms. Just a little bit though. So that's Pete. Pete of that.
Shout out.
Yeah. So this is Pete's maybe second or even third shout out. I think I've alluded to Pete before.
Okay, wait. So he's asking for our over under list. This year's most overhyped and underhyped things. I have to say, I usually these like over under or in out lists. I rarely dabble in them. There's always too many of it's like
gift guides. Why are you too good for us?
No, there's too many of them. It's I mean I find it. I get the exercise and it's fun to do and I'm going to do it now. And I did prepare some, but I'm always like, it's always like this person is just telling me what they like and what they don't like. There's, you know, like it's rarely ever actually an actual prediction, but that's okay.
Oh, right. It's always like a subtweet of somebody else.
It's too. Always a subtweet. Exactly. Yeah. It's always like so deeply personal, but I'm going to start and say that one overhyped thing for me, restaurants in general.
Okay, coming out the gate hot. Do you care to give a supporting argument for that?
I do.
I'm glad you didn't do that on our Blackbird episode.
No, and let me be clear. I love restaurants. But it's more of the like the having to wait in line. And sorry,
well,
Ben.
Well, I don't
but,
wait
like,
in line.
We, exactly, perfect. But it's also the like, you know, and I'm a culprit of this, the like waiting until the reservations release on Resy. To get the thing. It's and see, this is where it's like so personal. I'm trying to exercise this demon for myself of like you know, of submission to the hype of any given hot restaurant. So two restaurants I would put this on, two restaurants that I like. Superiority Burger. It's a great restaurant. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed eating there. But it's overhyped. It's a good restaurant, but it shouldn't be so mobbed. The other one, Radio Bakery in Greenpoint. Mm-hmm. I love it. I haven't been for like over a year because it's, you know, a couple neighborhoods away and I know there's always going to be a long line. So good. Divine pastries. Some of the best pastries and focaccia sandwiches I've ever had. But okay, when I say it's overhyped too, what I mean is maybe what I mean by restaurants in general being overhyped, I really mean people making Instagram content about restaurants.
Okay, that's more specific. Well, I mean, I told you about my epigenetic trauma around the Big Dig, but I also feel like I have epigenetic trauma around lines. Like when I'm waiting in a line, unless it's to like check out somewhere, you know, with something that I'm about to purchase.
You should already have the product in hand.
Right, right. I feel like something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm just like,
what, like
you know?
A car, like driving into the line or something?
No, just like, I feel like there's something deep in my DNA that's like, get out of line. You shouldn't be here. Okay. You know?
You're
like,
out of line.
No, this is going to end well for you. Yeah, like recently I went to Theodora. You know Theodora?
Heard of it, but yes. Similar to Hank's, I've heard of it, but I forget what it is.
That's okay. So Thea is like the bakery and then Theodora is a sit-down restaurant. Sort of like, I don't know what type of food it is. I guess.
New American
Greek,
Italian.
Mediterranean. Yeah, it is considered Mediterranean.
Okay.
Seafood focused. Yeah. So, you know, it's on... I guess I don't know if it's technically Fulton over by like that, you know, like the Lafayette stop on the sea.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I don't know.
Okay, whatever, man. Anyway, yeah. I went recently. We had a reservation, but we still had to wait in line to like go in the door, and it was like really.
I do
like,
know what it is. It's by like Strange Delight. There's a bunch of
exactly Strange
right
Delight,
there.
Which I wanted to go to. Speaking of New Orleans,
yeah.
So you have to wait in line even though you have a reservation. And I was like, this is really hard for me. Like everything in my being.
Waiting in line when you already have a reservation.
Every fiber of my being. It's like, get out of line. Run around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to be here. You made a reservation.
And then you go to get a martini three blocks away. And then as soon as you get the drink, they text you that your table's ready. And you have to.
Well, like our table was ready.
Yeah.
It was just like there's part of it is there's like construction happening. But like you have to form a line to get in the door, whether you're telling them. I want a table or you're telling them I already have a table.
Yeah.
So
that's bullshit. Okay. What next? Give me one of your overhyped.
So I actually Dirt did an overrated prompt around the same time that this old GQ overrated feature from the 80s or 90s. Somebody like scanned it and uploaded it. So everyone was talking about it and we did an overrated list. So I like went back and looked at my list to be like, do I still agree with this? Or were there like these like specific subtweets that I was getting out like 2 months ago? And the thing is, I do agree with all of this still. I added one. So I'm just going to list them off and then you can zero in on whatever you want.
Okay, I might interrupt as the case may be.
Overrated. Aloe yoga. It's a psyop. I don't know what to tell you. Like these are quince basics with aloe embroidered on them. I understand that's like everything, you know, status related, but something about aloe yoga in particular is whatever.
The Soho culture of it all. It's similar to the waiting in line thing. It's kind of the same core.
Yeah. I mean, it came out of nowhere. And it's like with, I mean, we had Tahini on the podcast with her, with Outdoor Voices, there was like a slogan and a value system that went along with it and like a lifestyle story. I don't know what the aloe yoga story is. It just like appeared one day to me, at least.
It's raw consumerism.
Raw consumerism. Okay. So aloe yoga, at the time, so Terry Nguyen had put on her list that working for yourself is overrated. I feel like not working for yourself is overrated. But that was sort of a response to her. And I said, sorry, Terry, in parentheses. Baja Blast. I'm always hearing about it. I'm not a Mountain Dew drinker to begin with. Guess what? I don't want to drink the Baja. The M Train? I don't know what that was about, but like I do think it's overrated. I'm sorry.
Could not agree less.
You love the M Train. Well, do you live off of it?
I've lived off the M Train for like 4 years. So you have Stockholm Syndrome. It's not Stockholm. Well, okay. This is actually related to working for yourself versus not working for yourself. Everybody I know who lives on the M Train and has to commute to work has a gripe. I don't have to commute to work.
Okay.
So for me, the M Train is actually a luxury product.
So if you had to use it. Oh, it's a luxury product because you don't have to use it.
You know, the gripe is that it moves a little slower and that, you know, oftentimes it gets cut off at Delancey Essex. It doesn't continue on. I have no issue with that because I'm often usually just going as far as Delancey Essex and then walking. And then I love that it's slow because I'm usually commuting to leisure activities like shopping or eating. Mm-hmm. And it's above ground, big luxury. It's a slow above ground. Love the M Train. Moving on. But
okay.
I couldn't disagree more.
Fine. Apple picking.
Fine. It's properly rated. Probably overrated, but...
Properly rated. You have a bag of apples. Ta-da! You're not going to eat all of them anyway.
I've never gone apple picking, but I think it probably gets too much hate. It's not properly rated. It's probably a little overhyped.
Yeah.
But it's not like vastly overhyped.
Annie or no? I was hearing for so long, I read her like more of her personal history, which is great. It's like a snapshot of a time in, you know, France and what it was like to grow up there. But then everyone's like, you got to read, you know, the diary of this affair that she had with like the Soviet guy. And like, it's so romantic. It wasn't romantic to me. It wasn't erotic to me. First of all, it wasn't even that sexy. Second of all, like, it was like the most horrible situationship in detail. Among like people who should know better. I'm sorry, I couldn't get into it. There are more romantic books. Hypergamy, do you know what that is?
I don't know.
Hypergamy is like when you marry somebody above your social class to try to advance yourself.
Yeah.
Dumb. Here's the thing, like just marry somebody you love. If you meet them really young, you end up kind of raising each other. If you meet them when you're old, you end up having to undo the damage everyone else did to them. Mm-hmm. By the time you start interrogating like social class.
Kind of profane to interrogate that and label that.
Exactly. It is very profane. And like, it just never really works out for anyone because we all have different potential and different achievements at different times in our life. And I think it's weird.
I just watched about this called Anora.
I watched Anora last night. Francis, oh, nice. And I had to wake up at 6 a.m. to finish my stuff because we watched Anora, but it was worth it. Anora, I would say correctly rated.
Correctly rated.
I agree. The next thing on my list was the cast of Challengers. Overrated. Don't want to hear about them anymore. Which is interesting given what's something that's on my underrated list, but that's fine. But I'm saying like the cast specifically.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, I mean, Josh Connor. I did see La Chimera. I liked it. And then
that's on my underrated list.
Yes. Okay. Well, before we get there, I also saw just yesterday as we record that these are always baseless rumors, but that he is the
James Bond.
Exactly. Current leader for the next James Bond.
No, which, it should be Idris Elba. Like, what
I agree.
The heck,
I agree, man. It should be Idris Elba.
Should be Idris Elba.
I'd take Josh Connor, but he's a little too cute for it. Josh Connor. He's a little too cute.
Yes.
That little nose.
Yes. Know? Yeah, I agree. She's just like, James Bond should be world weary in some ways. He should have
Daniel
serious
Craig was
baggage.
Perfect.
Love him.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on.
Overrated. Talking about your mental health.
Probably.
It's important, but I don't want to hear about it. Grin, sorry.
And bear it? Is that what you said? Grin and bear it?
No, I'm saying that people confuse talking about it with working on it.
Mm. Okay,
people confuse going to therapy with doing the work for the practice. Theory for the practice. That's right. Look, talking about your mental health, manifesto. Mm-hmm. Working on your mental health, praxis. And the people who are talking about it, they're always the one who are like not doing the best at the praxis. And it's like, I want to drop
one of my overhyped. And this one, I'm kind of subtweeting you here, though this was already one of my overhyped before I realized it could be a subtweet of you. Accidental Bronson, the Twitter account. And then also when people call something a Renaissance painting.
When have I ever called anything a Renaissance painting?
You didn't, but you retweeted an Accidental Bronson tweet yesterday as we record this. It was the one where it's like, I'm 39, I just lost my son in the Earl sweatshirt pit or something like that. I don't know. But my problem with this
more related to this anecdote itself.
Exactly, which is exactly my point. The anecdote itself was funny, but I think the Accidental Bronson framing is horrible. It's like, it's boomer vibes. I listened to plenty Action Bronson a decade ago. You know, I've watched plenty of his Vice Munchies food YouTube show, whatever. Yeah. But it's just one of those things where it's just like, come up with something more original, like change the name or something. But I don't know.
Thank you for holding me accountable and calling me out on that, because I've been engaging in a lot of slop recently. Ben was like, I clicked over to my For You page. It was awful. And I was like, oh, I'm default on that. And it's not going well.
The following tab sucks.
You're calling everyone that you follow on Twitter. You're saying that they suck. The problem is they're not tweeting at a high enough volume to fulfill your dopamine needs.
That's actually the thing. Yeah.
Well, okay. This actually feeds into my next thing, which is flats. Both the shoe and the wing. Drumsticks forever. I would love to see Action Bronson drumsticks only edition.
I'm agnostic on the drumstick versus flats equation.
Whatever. You can't be agnostic. You have to pick one.
I don't. There's a time, you know, to quote somebody who will appear on this list, there's a time for everything.
Post alt-lit. First episode, Talon came up. You know, he's an OG alt-lit. This is sort of like, actually, I was really happy with the reader's choice list for Dirt. I don't think there's any choices that could have been made where I would have been unhappy with it, although it was obvious some people were voting for their own stories. But the stuff that won by a good margin.
Yeah.
And Greta Rainbow's story about Honor Levy's my first novel, but also like what it says about the state of alt-lit and like post-alt-lit got our funniest, like, Laugh Out Loud Award from the readers. And I think it was a good encapsulation of everything that's wrong with it, which is like some people moved on and made novels for the internet eras. Other people just stayed in the internet novel as like a novel that doesn't really have any reason to exist except for to try to create the internet on the page. So that's why I'm saying it's overrated.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. I do want to give a shout out to Greta Rainbow for her review of La Chimera in the Los Angeles Review of Books. That was a really excellent review.
That's so true. And we love Greta. Okay. Parasociality.
Is it overhyped?
Yeah.
I think to me, this is something you can't call overhyped or underhyped. I agree that it's probably overhyped, but I think it's more like so... Well, maybe this is why it's overhyped. I feel like it's so just elemental to like the world today. Maybe it's just because I spend so much time online and like literally my job is to like research creators and like what it means to be a creator. So like to me, it's just like such an elemental thing where it's like saying like rocks are overhyped or underhyped. But you're right that it actually is probably so deeply overhyped and you should free yourself of it.
Here's my thing.
But not if you have a parasocial relationship to this podcast.
Truth bomb. Even your most intimate relationships are constrained by the fact that you can really only have a relationship with the version of somebody else as you understand them. Yeah. Yes, exactly. We've all seen the little chart. Mm-hmm. So if that's true about your most intimate relationships, like why... I don't know, put effort into that and that level of understanding instead of like having relationships with the idea of like a micro celebrity. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, I agree.
Okay. And then the last thing, this is my last one. It's the only one that I added this morning. It's a big one.
Okay.
Legal weed. Legalization, great. The actual experience and culture around legal weed kind of sucks.
Is this a, are you subtweeting Rose Los Angeles?
I'm really not subtweeting anyone. Here's the thing. Like, this is not original thought. I feel like this is a neutral thought. This is not a value statement. I don't like smelling weed everywhere. But I don't care.
Yeah.
It's more so like, it needs to be like much easier to get or like much harder to get.
I agree with you there. I think like, I don't know. I've lived in places where, I mean, you know, when I lived in Portland, the last like 2 years or so I lived in Portland, it was legal. And there it was like ridiculously easy to get. And it was so cheap. And there was dispensaries everywhere.
Yeah.
And then here there's like, I miss like.
This is kind of a New York complaint, honestly. Because like Maine, it's legal in Maine and it's much more chill. Like, I don't know.
I thought what was, I liked when it was like bodegas. Now, I mean, a lot of them still have it. But like bodegas just had pre-rolls. So it's like if I was going to go somewhere, I was going to the movie theater and I wanted to smoke a joint before, I could just like go into the bodega right by the train station and like give him $10. He gives me the thing and then I have it and it's like so quick. There's no
like a pre-roll. Yeah.
Yeah. Pre-roll. But then that stuff too was often like so bad. So like there was a time like this summer when I got one of those and I smoked it and I was like, I feel bad. Like that was like rat poison or something. Like, so in that way, it's like whatever, the legal weed is fine. But then you have to treat it like the grocery store where it's like, oh, I need to like get, because you don't want to go so often.
Think like some people, and also like I don't think that they're necessarily related, but you also have to ask yourself, like, do I really need to be high for this? Like,
that's true.
But
answer's probably no.
Yeah, answer's probably no.
Let's move to underhyped. So
yeah,
I'm gonna start with cured meats. You know, Tin Fish has been having this moment in the sun. It's probably been on the overhyped and underhyped lists for like 3 years now. Shout out Fishwife. I'm sure it's on some of those lists as we speak. But cured meats.
No, that's 100% right. And speaking of bodegas, like Becca Shu, Bad Waitress, she comes up a lot on this podcast.
The Bad Waitress, yes.
She has a tweet about like wanting to have like open a bodega or like store, corner store, whatever, that would just be like cured meats, magazines, and I think like cigarettes is the other thing.
I mean, it's kind of like the dream job, but you know, to live in a society where you can have that.
And Casa magazines, but if it also sold prosciutto.
Isn't that, so is the solution there just to move to Italy?
That's the solution.
I've never been to Italy. I don't know if that's actually the vibe.
Can't believe you've never been. I'm trying to go back. I've only been to Venice, so my experience of Italy is actually very limited as well.
Let me go to Rome. Long meals, another underhyped one for me. Three-hour plus meals.
Speaking of Italy, love a long meal.
Yeah.
You know, I had like my girls' holiday dinner at Gage and Tolner earlier this week, and that was a long meal. I think it could have been even longer, but
how long
we did keep it going by going up to the Sunken Vessel, which is their like tiki speakeasy that does like a little bit of a Disney World situation.
It's actually, I like when a restaurant has that because it like makes it so they can still kind of shuttle you out and turn the table, but you're still like enjoying the party. You haven't left the vibe.
Yeah. I think, how long was our meal? No, it just wasn't that. I mean, it must have just been like an hour. I mean, there wasn't really an effort to super draw it out. We did order dessert. We had the baked Alaska. I hadn't had baked Alaska in forever. I thought it was great. I did think it was going to be come to the table and be set on fire in front of me. So I was a little bit like, okay.
Yeah.
And
you like a table side. Table
coffee.
Side is underhyped for you.
I loved it. I loved everything about it, but I would have extended it to 3 hours if I could.
I think 3 hours is the perfect length for a meal, but you need at least three people. Two people isn't enough, but I think three people for that.
You need a lot of courses and a pacing, a commitment to the pacing. But you know, I love a post-dinner espresso and gonna add time with that.
I love an affogato.
Affogato, fantastic. Would you? I would say affogato is correctly rated.
I'm gonna say yes, because in actuality they're probably underhyped, but I don't want them to be any further hyped.
That's correct. I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
What's next on your list, Francis?
I'm gonna go with Dune 2.
Never saw it.
I saw it twice. And this is a two-parter, a two-part underhyped. I saw it the first time, whatever, normal theater. I saw it the second time in IMAX. And I'm going to say IMAX is underhyped, but this is one of the sins of the overhyped, underhyped list, in that I'm only saying that because this, I had never seen a movie in IMAX before this year. So this is a recency bias underhyped, where I'm saying IMAX is underhyped. There should be more IMAX screens the size of the Lincoln Center screen, which is what, like, it's like 90 feet wide, 70 feet tall, or some shit like that. What an experience. The cinema.
I can't believe you only lost your IMAX virginity this year. A canon event for me, and I would say, like, I want to extend this to people that grew up in Massachusetts. If you grew up in Massachusetts and this is true for you, get in touch. So we had an IMAX theater that I think was like near or adjacent to the Boston Aquarium. Mm. And I have such a distinct memory. There was this movie that came out about Everest, and they were taking school children to it. Why? I don't know. Everything about Everest is so fucking traumatic.
Yeah, it is.
There was a part in it that in IMAX where there's an avalanche and the snow comes towards you. And like, I just remember, like, you're like an elementary school kid where I'm like 11 and I'm visually suffocating. Like, and then my dad also took us to see in IMAX some movie about U2.
And was this around the time that they flooded iPods and iPhones?
Yeah, it would have been around the same time as some movie about U2. And I was like, I must have been like 12 or 13, but I was really... I was really attracted to Bono, and I was like, I feel funny. Like,
the real life leprechaun, yeah.
I was like, this man is, I like this man. I don't know. Like, it was like weird. And he's like, that's, it's so IMAX, funny. So he's like singing in your face.
Oh my God. Yeah. You want to like scale his nose.
Yeah. I was just like, oh my God. Anyway, those are my two IMAX things. Mm-hmm. But and there was also, if I'm remembering correctly, an IMAX. Well, okay, so they had IMAX theaters, but they had ones with, like, moving chairs. There was some sort of interactive theater inside Jordan's Furniture, which we could do a whole episode on Jordan's Furniture. That, I mean, we don't even have time to get into it. But speaking of New Orleans, Jordan's Furniture, just going to bring this home. Huh. Jordan's Furniture. It's a furniture store with, that was basically, like, themed around the French Quarter with periodic, like, performances by like kinetic statues.
Yeah.
I mean, rest in peace, Umberto Eco. You would have loved Jordan's Furniture. I'm so sad that he never got to go
to patronize this wonderful furniture store.
Because it was like, you know, hyper reality. Mm-hmm. And they sold couches. And also, like Gage and Tolner, the thing that I was going to say about the upstairs speakeasy is it like they do every once in a while, it's almost like Pirates of the Caribbean, this like fake fog, whatever, smoke, whatever it's called, dry ice.
Yeah.
She just like floods it. And then there's like an announcement that's like about the ship.
Wait, and I was like, okay. Cajun told her?
The speakeasy upstairs, sunken vessel. And it reminded me of a piece that I read in Slate recently. Apparently, like Gen Z is keeping Rainforest Cafe in business.
Oh, this is
the thing, though. When all of this stuff came out, this was like the Umberto Eco, Bull Gerard, like hyper reality, like we're losing touch. But now those experiences of hyper reality, of like Rainforest Cafe and Epcot and the Epcotification of everything, is actually like more visceral and real of an experience to have with your friends than like going online. So it's now like we've like That's circled true. Back and like actually Epcot is good now because like at least you're not on your computer.
That makes sense. I'm going to give one more of my underhyped.
No. Oh, you want to alternate? Why don't you just do all of yours and then I'll do all of mine.
Natural fibers.
Whatever, man. You've never worn a bamboo shirt? They're so soft.
I've been wearing, maybe I have one bamboo. I'm wearing linen right now. Mm-hmm. I'm often wearing a hemp cotton mix, this brand Jungmaven.
Okay.
Big fan. Natural fibers. Love linen. Love hemp clothing.
Oh, wait. I forgot we're doing underrated. I agree.
Yeah, underrated.
Sorry, I forgot.
Oh, you thought this was overhyped?
Just for 1 second.
Yeah, no. So natural fibers, but after that, I'm going to say Karl Ove Knausgård.
Oh my God. I think he's correctly rated. You know why? Because I talk to men in their 30s.
I'm saying he's under hype because I finished his latest book two nights ago.
Well, why?
It was so good.
Maybe everything outside of my struggle is underhyped.
Yeah, my struggle is good, which I've read. He has so many books now, but I've read a number of them outside. So I think it's his second novel. Is that one I was referencing, A Time for Everything? Haven't read that one in 9 years, but I think about it a lot. It's like a Bible. It's three Bible retellings, basically. It's him like doing his thing on like Noah's Ark, Cain and Abel, and probably Adam and Eve. But the one I just read is called The Third Realm, and it's the third in what I thought was a trilogy of books, but apparently now there's going to be at least two more.
Surprise.
So the guy just loves writing extremely long series, but it's kind of like if, I mean, the same kinds of things that we love about My Struggle, but converted into fiction. And like so the first book is kind of like nine characters. It's again like a 500 page book. There's a bit of a sci-fi, like otherworldly element, but it's mostly like still these people in the small town of Norway going about their lives. Mm-hmm. And like there's like, you know, some like small connections between them. But this, and then the second one is like more like basically a Lost My Struggle, where it's like this one main character, and then there's like a second character, and there's, you know, he gets into like essays within the book where he's like getting like, you know, trying to theories of reality and transhumanism or whatever. I don't know.
I like to call him Karl Rove Mouthguard because
that's good.
Because I just do it so much that like basically like I know that Ben's gonna like want to say his name and he's gonna like not be able to say it correctly because I've said Karl Rove Mouthguard.
You're manipulating your husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I've manipulated myself as well because I went through a period where I would call Knives Out Knives Wide Out. And so now anytime we want to talk about Knives Out or Eyes Wide Shut,
there's
like a momentary brain glitch that happens. Yeah,
I kind of had a collapse of reality there. But I will say, so that this third Nausgard is the best of the books. It's kind of like a mirror of the first one where it's like a lot of the same scenarios. It takes place at basically the same time as the first book, but it's like from the perspective of like the other characters in these scenes, where like instead of like the Nausgard stand-in who's like this like, you know, kind of depressed, dejected professor academic, and you know he's with his wife and two kids on holiday, it's like from the perspective of the wife who's like this like kind of bipolar artist. Anyways, it's so good. There's like this amazing chapter where he like takes you into this like, you know, black metal concert in this barn in Sweden, and it's this black metal band who's like so anti-commercialism. This is actually an interesting detail. Brief spoiler, skip ahead about 90 seconds if you are going to read Nausgard's The Third Realm. But it's this metal band that's so anti-commercialism that they don't record their music. The only way to see it, to hear it, is to like hear them live. And this is from the perspective of this girl who's like dating the lead singer of this band, and she's like digging through his suitcase, and this is this detail that really stuck out to me that is never revisited. Maybe it will be in a later book, but in a suitcase he has some Balenciaga and Aurelie clothes, and she doesn't recognize the labels, and it's such a contrast where it's like, why is this like anti-commercialism philosophy student, black metal student, how is he wearing Aurelie and Balenciaga? And why does Karl Ove Nausgard know what Aurelie is?
You're asking the right questions.
Yeah, so this is what's really lingering on my mind. But Nausgard, you're right, he's probably correctly rated, but every time I come back, you know, he keeps bringing me back in.
That's good. I mean, that's a good experience to have with an author.
Yeah. My last underhyped. This is the most lazy one. Watching soccer.
Yeah. No, that's true. I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been interesting lately as a Spurs fan as well.
Yeah. Yesterday, as we record this, there was quite a score line. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, my underrated list: La Chimera. I already said that. Okay, so I'm like sort of off post altlet, but what I'm on is Works in Translation, and I read three Works in Translation, well actually four in particular this year that I really liked. So I read a book called Love Novel by Ivana Sashko.
Yeah,
I believe it's translated from Czech. Mm-hmm. Fiori by Clara Mendoza, which is originally written in Spanish. If Only by Vigdis Horth, which is takes place in Denmark.
Okay.
And is a corollary to some of the works and themes explored in the Copenhagen trilogy, which is an older work trilogy that I read last year by Tove.
Is that good? I always Ditlevsen. Hear about it. I always see it on bookshelves everywhere.
I think that you would like it. So yeah, Copenhagen trilogy by Tove Ditlevsen, which I read last year, but this year I read newly translated poems by Tove, a collection called There Lives a Young Girl in Me Who Will Not Die. And that collection officially comes out next year. So I'm like, okay, if you're getting bored with the internet novel, like, read more works in translation.
I love works in translation, such as Carlo Van Ausgaard's My Struggle and The Third Round.
All right. I
will say Archipelago Books is a great publisher, which I did discover through Carlo Van Ausgaard's A Time for Everything. But big shout, buy Archipelago Books. They're so good. They're such great physical objects. But always, you can always rely on them to put out interesting works.
My other one, Fernet and Coke with Lemon.
That's a good one. That's a really good
Thank
one.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The Metro North.
See, this is your version of the M train.
No, it's not, because it's never down and it's never late.
No, but it's the your primary train.
Fine. Yes. It's a luxury.
Then no, I agree. It's the Metro North is great. I don't think I've taken it this year. I don't think I've taken it since, I don't know, probably went to Beacon in 2023 or something as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're overdue.
I am. Yeah.
Do you know the band Nourished by Time?
I never heard of them.
Okay, well, their EP, Catching Chickens, was one of the best EPs or albums that I listened to this year, and not enough people have heard of them. So that's on my underrated list. And then my last thing.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, well, my last thing is randomly texting your friends that you love them.
That is nice.
We should do that more.
Mm-hmm. Just randomly texting friends, acquaintances, email. I got an email from somebody I'd spoken to earlier this year, just a nice holiday note. You know, send the message. People love to hear it.
So nice.
So much.
I was going to say, correspondence.
And underhyped for me, do you know that song, Better Off Alone?
Yes.
Do you think, by Alice DJ.
Of course.
So that song, correctly rated, correctly hyped. But every other song on that album is underhyped. That's one of my, like I'm writing, I'm doing work, I need to get in the zone, I'll listen to that album, Who Needs Guitars Anyways, on repeat. I discovered this like 2 years ago now, but I'm still doing it. So good.
Okay. That's good alpha.
Yeah.
Is that the end of your list?
I did have two things I didn't mention on my overhyped. I'll just say them really quickly. Mm-hmm. All apps and
100%
the Jaguar rebrand.
Oh my God, the Jaguar rebound. Okay, but was it overhyped or was the discourse overhyped?
Point is moot for me. It's both. I don't need to extricate them. I think that it's the discourse. It is the discourse. But I think just that's right. Caring about that is overhyped.
Caring about it 100%.
This goes back to, I've talked about this a few times, I think, on this podcast already. The book I read recently, Content by Kate Eichhorn. And the idea that content begets content, that's just a classic scenario of content begetting content.
Yeah, I agree.
Should we cover any more of Pete's questions? I think we've filled a lot.
Pete had some good ones. Let me look. Are you mad at me? No, Pete, we're not mad at you. Is it too much deer? So Pete is part of a small Telegram chat where we send moss memes, deer memes. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a tweet, maybe about a month ago about how I would love to know more about deer, but there's no magazines about deer that aren't about hunting them. That went viral.
I remember
apparently
this.
A bunch of people agree, crossed over to Instagram. So, Pete's been sending some deer stuff, and I would say it's not too much. It's the perfect amount. Deer are, I think, maybe underrated, but
I guess deer are correctly rated. They're a lovely animal.
Yeah. Also asked about what we ate for breakfast and what we're wearing. So I am wearing one of two LA Apparel cropped sweatsuits that I own. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, it would be throwing fits if we had to do that first.
That's what we're doing last. Okay, wait, continue. And I'll do my
Okay, so I have two of these LA Apparel cropped sweatsuits that I wear seriously all the time. I have a pink one and a blue one. The blue one's in Maine. I'm wearing the pink one right now.
His and hers.
If I'm home, I'm probably wearing it. It's great. I love it. I kind of want more in different colors. I tell everyone about it. So that's what I'm wearing. And then I'm wearing some On Running sneakers that I bought with the thought, very stupid thought, that if I bought expensive sneakers, I would have to run because I would feel guilty for buying them. Not true. That's
a classic mistake.
Really classic mistake that I was too old to make. But I am wearing them and I have not gone running in them in probably at least a year. And what did I have for breakfast? I had an English muffin. I set part of Ben's English muffin on fire, but that was handled. My mom sent us these extra thick English muffins. And as I was putting Ben's in, like a
big... So not Thomas.
No, not Thomas. A big chunk flaked off. And I was like, that's fine. But it actually lit on fire. And I also ate... This is a little unorthodox. I did have a quarter of the Al Pastor burrito that I had for dinner last night.
Cold or did you refry it? I love refrying a burrito.
No, cold.
Like chop cold, it up. Cold, like,
and I dipped it in sour cream. And I also had a large iced coffee.
Nice. I had for breakfast, as I often do, a small bowl of muesli, just muesli and water.
You would.
Yeah.
You would.
You got, you know, heart health, with a cup of coffee, Devotion, Colombian, single origin. And then what am I wearing? I'm wearing a vintage, bought on eBay, 90s Bob Dylan t-shirt. A couple of years ago, I was looking for Bob Dylan merch, and it's either really expensive and like old, or there's a good amount of this weird like tribal tattoo kind of motif Bob Dylan fan club merch from the 90s. So that's that. I'm wearing this purple linen Our Legacy shirt. Big fan. Overhyped brand this year. And then some kind of like almost corduroy, but it's like a grid instead of just straight. These corduroy pants I got at a Goodwill somewhere along the Hudson. I forget where.
Mm.
Yeah. And then some Subu Deucin and Deucin MoMA slippers that I was given given by my last job for a bunch of us did this project and they gave us all these slippers.
Good fit. Really good fit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my work from home fit. I think we should end the episode there, right?
Yes.
And then, thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Enjoy the holidays.